Christ.
I speak to you in God's holy name. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. This gospel certainly tells us about be careful what you wish for. But in seriousness, it's also about emotions, and it's about gratitude. And we're going to talk about that in our series for the summer. And today, in this wheel of gratitude that I introduced us to last week, we're going to focus today on me and emotions. Me and emotions. And I want to start by us thinking about what is an emotion. We all have them. And I want to give you a definition. An emotion is a spontaneous internal response to a person, place, or situation. I'll say it again. An emotion is a spontaneous internal response to a person, place, or situation. And the other thing to know about emotions is that it has no morality. Emotion is neither right nor wrong. It's neither right nor wrong. And in the gospel today, we saw a clear example. Herod had gratitude for the dancing. And emotionally, he offered her half the kingdom or whatever you want. And she, of course, turned it around with her mother's help and used it so that Herod had to condemn John the Baptizer to death. Because they also had emotions. So emotions have no morality. But they are a part of gratitude, which is the focus of our focus today. It's me and gratitude. It's me and emotions. Oftentimes people have in the church distrusted emotions. Parts of the church today even will put aside emotion. It's all about doctrine. Jesus is the engine that drives the Christian train and the love of God, but emotions are not important. It's all about doctrine, and emotions come afterwards. But progressive Christians, the emergent Christians today, it's really the sense that Jesus drives the train. He's the engine. But emotions come right afterwards. That we have to consider how people are reacting, and we put people first. We have an emotional response to things, and then the doctrine comes after that. So there's quite a reversal. And it sometimes gets confusing for people because they say, well, you know, you have this doctrine, but, you know, we really want to see hell and brimstone. How come you're not condemning? When really, we're trying to live out the compassion of Jesus. That Jesus was compassionate. Jesus cared. Jesus didn't have the boundaries of the rules of the Pharisees. He instead had the compassion of God and exhibited it through his accepting of a diversity of people. The lepers who were outcasts, the tax collectors who were outcasts. Zacchaeus is an amazing story. And in our series further down, we're going to talk about Zacchaeus a bit more. And the woman at the well, the Good Samaritan, all these examples of Jesus caring for the individual and not worrying so much about the doctrine. Even to the point where his disciples were eating on the Sabbath and got condemned. Jesus stood up for his disciples. So what about gratitude? We need to really think. We're living in an age where I think we're going backwards. There used to be a time in before there was democracy where gratitude really in the secular world and to a point in the spiritual world, there was a sense that if God gives you something, you've got to be grateful for that gift. And you do it through sacrifice. Or if the ruler gives you something, you owe the ruler something. But with Jesus and Jesus' teaching, We have a new understanding of gratitude, but it's hard to break away from that old one because we think we owe something for a gift. But we really don't owe anything because the gift is freely given without expectation. Putting it into personal terms, how we look at this is that everything is a gift. We have the gift of life in the world in which we have been gifted. We didn't do anything to create the world. God gave that. And God gave the world with all the elements of plenty for everyone, and is given to all as a free gift. To everyone. Not just those who acknowledge God, but the whole of the world is a gift. There are three hallmarks of gratitude at a personal level. The first is that situation matters. How you experience gratitude is in your situation. Now, I know many of you here have worked in higher education, you've taken courses, you've done writing. You know what it's like, some of you are artists, or you're engineers, and you've had to think through a problem, and you're sitting there and you're blocked. Nothing really happens. And then all of a sudden you have an aha moment. Maybe you got up and went for a glass of water, and on the way back some inspiration came to you, and you sit down and you can start writing. Or you start drawing, or you start composing, or you start drafting, or whatever it might be the situation you're in. Or even cooking, you know, you're trying to figure out a dish. And you have this moment. And you have gratitude at that point. You say, oh, thank you. And it just feels good. Or maybe there's been a problem that you have been wrestling with in the family. Because we all know that families have their moments. The relatives sometimes have their moments. And then you get a phone call out of the blue. And it just, the clouds disappear, the sun comes up. It feels wonderful, and you say, thank you. It's that personal situation, but you have an emotional response to it. It's an emotional response to that situation. And gratitude and positive emotions are the ones that we try to think about, and we say thank you. The second thing about the hallmark of gratitude is that emotions, and I've got into that a little bit, they weave into our gratitude. There are emotions of surprise, emotions of relief, emotions of burden lifted. And that generates gratitude within us persons, as individuals. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'll be glad when it cools down a little bit at night. I'll have gratitude. And we can also have an unplanned response. You can have something happen that you have totally surprised, and it's like, wow, how did this happen? It's more than like the winning the lotto. I don't mean it in that way, though. That would probably have an emotional response. But you planned for that. I mean, that's why you bought the ticket. But something that you never expected. Maybe a long-lost friend finds your email address or sends you a note. And all of a sudden it's, wow. Or maybe you've gone through a medical episode and you think, oh, I got to go to the doctor today. What's next? And the doctor says, hey, man, clean bill of health. You're over that. It's unplanned, unexpected, and you have gratitude. There's an emotional overwhelmingness of, wow. I had one of those recently. I went bought a new pair of shoes, and the woman who served me in the store said, you know, your shoes that you've been wearing are really wrong. No wonder you're having difficulty. Your foot size is now a 12, and I used to think it was a 10 and a half. So as I got shorter this way, I went and got bigger feet. But it was gratitude to have someone who I didn't expect was a specialist in this store, was a nurse and now took to selling shoes, and was like, wow. Society is hip with the downside of gratitude in the secular society before democracy was something called quid pro quo, which is you get something for what you've been given. And in the old society, and there's some of it still around, it was a case of the dominant superior person giving the crumbs off their table to the serfs. And the serfs were so happy to get the crumbs, they were saying thank you. And that kind of gratitude is not Christian gratitude. Because God does not give us the crumbs off the table. We are given everything equally to all people on the planet. God loves all of God's creation. And so our sense of gratitude is not about receiving the crumbs. Now, unfortunately, there is elements, even within the church, of thinking that God plays favorites, or you've got to give to God in order to get to God. And that kind of thinking happened before Jesus. Because before Jesus, there was this sense that you've got to sacrifice in order to please God. And that came out of the multiplicity of gods from the Romans, from the Greeks, and for other ancient cultures. But the presence of Jesus changed all that. That we are given the gift to us, to all people, even those who don't acknowledge Jesus, is given to us equally and fully. Democracy also is supposedly doing that in our society. But I'm afraid today that democracy is being subverted by money and that it's getting so expensive to do elections in this modern era that we're slipping backwards and that people are giving money in return for favors. And that's not gratitude. That's usury. But Christian gratitude, and that we receive at a personal level, is a gift given with no strings attached. And when we know there's no strings attached, we give thanks in that sense. I want you to think about in the early part of the Gospels, we all know about the Epiphany, when the kings came and gave the gifts. We don't really think about it much today in 2018, but in its own time, when that was written down and started to be read out in the little churches in the first centuries of the Christian church, that changed the understanding of king and peasant. Here were these kings and wise people coming and paying homage to the child of a serf. And the gifts from the king were being given to the serf. That was an understanding of that imagery was turning things on their heads. And it said to the early Christian people, wow, we are in this way. This is God now. God is gifting us who are the underclass. God is gifting Jesus. God is gifting us with Jesus' presence. And it set a new tone of giving a sense of we matter. We count. It's not just the 1%. It's all of us that are loved and gifted by God. And so the whole imagery of the wise men is more than what we often think. For the ancient people, it was like a whole new revelation of what it means to have gratitude because of the endless gifting from God. No strings attached. And also the gift was given with no connection to debts. There was no debt, the gift was given. We often ourselves have things happen in our lives that we've made mistakes and the debt is unrepayable. I've made mistakes in my life and the harm I did, I can only work at reconciling because I can't repay the mistake I made. And I think all of us are in that space. But we know that God's forgiveness is open and free and total. And we can't ever, at a personal level, ever repay it. But it is a gift totally given from God and freely given. And in return for that, we often are spontaneously saying our gratitude. And part of our presence here on a hot Sunday morning is that we are giving gratitude for the gifts that of life and all that life brings that God has freely given to us. We are grateful for that which is unearned. And the response to that is our own sense of kindness to others. Because others have helped looked after us. It takes a community to support a child growing up. We did some of it on our own as parents, but we also know it was the community. A community can be beautiful and supportive, or it can be destructive. Think of all the bullying that happens to teenagers. And the bullyings maybe that you have experienced. But at a personal level, it's also a sense that we have an emotional gratitude for the lives that we had. And we can all think about somebody who came into our life at a time when we were feeling desperate and who came almost magically and was there to help us through a rough patch. But it's at a personal level. And they're there. I can remember a guy by the name of Dick Henthorne in Summerside, Prince Edward Island. And Dick, nobody really liked Dick. But for some reason, he came in and acted for me almost like a surrogate father. I was very young in ministry. And there were some complex issues about the culture of the community I was working in and ministering to. And Dick out of nowhere came in and said, "I think you need some help. Here's what it's like." And he didn't expect anything, but I was eternally grateful for his wisdom. And it's that unexpected that all of a sudden comes. Because when I saw Dick Henthorne walking into the office, I thought, "I've heard about this guy. I wonder what I'm in for now." But Dick was beautiful. And so that's one of those gifts, and you have gratitude forever for those experiences. And we do it at an emotional level, and we do it at a personal level. We realize from this that emotions are a part of our gratitude. And we also realize that we don't live independently. We do have some interdependency in our lives. Next Sunday, I'm going to move on. And we're going to look at how we respond to that. What is our ethical response to our own expectation of gratitude at a personal level? But today, as we receive the sacrament, it's a reminder to us that we are receiving it. The symbols are the gifts of love poured into us by God. And that we receive this symbol of God's love for us. And it's in response that we are thankful. May God bless us all as we journey. Amen.